Street Rod is a car sim for gearheads. It's Amigos, episode 325. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're together again for the first time in 18 months.
Unbelievable, boat.
Yeah, we have reunited here at Amigos Studios for a very special episode because it is Veterans Day here in the United States, a holiday. So we salute and thank all veterans for their service.
Absolutely.
And we're celebrating Veterans Day by taking a look at a game about 50s street racing.
Listen, a lot of veterans were street racing. Trust me on this. And a lot of people, I've got some interesting tales about street racing because my dad did it.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, why don't you regale us with one of those?
Well, you know, the old man was my whole, in Charleston, when you were a young man in the early 60s especially, fooling with cars is what you did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those guys did it. My whole dad's whole family were drag racers. They would go out in the streets of Charleston and they would race their cars. Something that is mentioned again today is racing for pink slips. Mm-hmm. That happened. Mm-hmm. That happened. Dad has told me about people he's seen that lost their car dragging down the strip. You know,
how would you get the car home? I always wonder about that.
Oh, trust me. When someone gives you a car, mm-hmm. you can get it back to the pad.
You
because
find
a way. You've got one of your pals to drive that sucker, you know, back to the house.
Right.
But drag racing was a real problem in Charleston back in the day, and there were certain stretches of road on the outskirts of town where that would happen. So it was a big deal. My dad's a big gearhead, and part of the reason is because he used to work on cars and race them. They'd race cars up haulers, they'd race them down the city, mm-hmm. anywhere they could. So the game that we're looking at is more of a Happy Day style, you know, like there's a city and there's a diner where, you know, it wasn't quite like that in a lot of places, mm-hmm. but you know, kids knew where to get together and have illegal street races. And I guess it sort of hasn't changed. If you watch the movies, Fast and Furious, like that, they get together in the movies. They do. I assume this story happened somewhere.
Somewhere.
You know, but I haven't heard about it happening around here for a long time.
It just seems like, where are you going to find a place where there's a road, where there's not enough, where there's so little traffic that you can pull one of these things off?
Oh, you could. Well, at night you could do it because mm-hmm. they're all at night. You could. There's plenty of long stretches of country road where you can go. Mm-hmm. You know, and people still, most races now are, you're at the red light and some geek pulls up beside you and revs his engine.
Right.
But even when I was a kid and someone got up beside Dad in a nice car, I could see him punching it. And I remember this. So it's something that happened. And it was the game is based in something resembling fact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think it is about this whole time period, you know, the 50s time period with the diner? Why do we go back to that time period? What makes it so nostalgic, do you think?
Post-war America was a paradise for some people. Mm-hmm. You're talking about there were a lot of joy that was still coming from finishing off the war. There was an economic boom period. And when people look back on it in a romantic way, you've got the parquet floor diners, mm-hmm. and the roller skating chicks come up the door, all that sort of stuff. And the Letterman sweaters, mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. There's a romantic element to it. I think TV and Hollywood perpetuated it quite a bit with shows like Happy Days. And, you know, of course, for the people like us that didn't grow up in that period, we've been exposed to it our whole lives anyway, through restaurants, mm-hmm. and again through TV. And some people have done their, I know there's a guy down here that's got a bunch of pinball machines that's got the whole, you know, the parquet floor, the whole schmoz with the jukebox and stuff. So, I mean, there is an appeal to it. Even someone like myself who didn't grow up in that era, I still think it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and it does seem kind of like a calming era. Now, people were still getting killed and gutted, and people were wrecking cars, doing everything they did back then. But, you know, every time you look back on something, like people look back romantically on the 80s, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, it was so great. Well, I lived through the 80s. They weren't that good, I'll be mm-hmm. honest with you. A lot of bad stuff happened. But when you look back in the old rose-tinted glasses, which is, hey, this is what we do, right?
That's right.
Rose-tinted glasses,
that's our bread
is our
butter.
Bag. Mm-hmm. You know, you could look on this stuff. And I don't know how, I wondered how a game like this would translate in Europe, for example.
Well, it was developed in Poland.
Let me tell you something. When you see this game come up, And then you see the names that worked on it. I was jarring. I thought to myself, is this a scene that happened in other parts of the world? I don't know. Do you?
I don't think so. I think that the entire world has a romantic notion about post-war America.
Yeah.
That's because of Hollywood, because of, TV. And that was the time period where it really seemed like, America had hit the ground running and there was no limit to what could be accomplished. So it's interesting. And that definitely surprised me when I saw the names on the list of who programmed this thing. Well, Aaron, before we get into Street Rod, why don't we talk a little bit about what's been going on this week in the world of Amiga News? So we're going to kick things right off the bat with this thing, Mod Explorer 3.8, Aaron. Have you ever thought about looking for some new mods to play, or do you have your playlist and you're set with it?
Well, it's fun. I may use this because I didn't see this come up in the news, but I there's a live, continuously available mod player that you can log onto a website and download and play mods off of, and I use that all the time at work.
Yeah.
So
this is sort of similar to that. This may even be, it's just a new version. This is Mod Explorer 3.8. has been released, and it says that it offers users mods they've never heard before. It randomly downloads mods from the internet, including AmiNet, Modland, and modules.pl, and it plays them. So they're not stored permanently. There's basically, they're sort of streamed on the fly. So this new version offers a plugin that gives you one of the visualizers. You big visualizer guy when you listen to music?
I do like a little visualizing. I do. I do like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when you're listening to electronic music, I think that it suits it well. So you can check this out. This is available. I found this on AmigaNews.de, but you can find the link to this and all of the stories on the gather.com/AmigosPodcast link that you see before you on the screen.
I like the idea of being able to play these on your Amiga.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
Now, Aaron, we've got our buddy Tenmark is back with a new video this week all about the Grease Weasel.
Yep, I watched this video because I remember he talks about the predecessor to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard about this thing for years, the old gimmick to let you hook the drive up to the PC. Doug loves this thing. And it's funny, I asked in our Discord, I'm like, I guess I should fill in what it is. It lets you read and write Amiga discs on your computer, right? On your PC. And other formats, mm-hmm. not just Amiga, including some like real more obscure formats. And I guess that's where the gimmick is, because I couldn't figure out why anybody would care about this now. There's so many ways to do this without having to fool with this. But people care about all kinds of weird stuff, number one. I never can figure out why. Number two, they're using it for other formats. Apparently, it's quite popular, more obscure stuff. So I can understand.
Because not all computers have the compact flash solutions that the Amiga have.
Yeah, or USB solutions. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, what disk are you going to... unless you wrote a bunch of disks, what disks are you really... is there a need to dump a bunch of your own disks? They're out there. But the price on this thing is El Cheapo Grande. Mm. So there's also
Do you
that.
Remember how much it is?
It was under 20. It was under $30
yeah,
US,
that's not
I believe.
Bad.
And it's
not bad at all.
I believe it's Amy Kit that's shipping these. It's funny that Doug mentions it because Amy Kit. We've always been on good terms with Amy Kit, mm-hmm. but they pissed me off more a few times. Hey, shipping's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
But Amy Kit's such a small crew. All right, and Doug mentions in the video that they've added a new employee. So I thought that was interesting. So I'm assuming they told him that for a reason, because they're trying to get back over.
Right.
And say, listen, good for them. They hooked another dude up or lady, and hopefully that will iron out any sort of whacker they have. Because, Amy Kid for the longest time was the only game in town, it seemed like.
Now,
not so much now. So I think it's time to step up the game.
Are you the kind of guy who gets off on putting your own discs into a machine? Or is there any sort of that nostalgic ritual about taking a disc out of a box, putting a disc in, waiting for it to load?
Nope. Not a bit. Let me tell you something. I took a disc out of the box, put it in, waited for it to load over and over and over. When I was bootlegging 4 billion discs, mm-hmm. right? You put the disc in. I will say it's always nice when it works. So
yeah,
I guess there's
true.
Some mm-hmm. there's some low end sensation of joy when that happens, when it comes on. But no, I'm not nostalgic for load times. I'm not nostalgic. And listen, I know some people are, and I will say it's kind of neat to hear the pseudo sound of a drive running when you're using your GoTech or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't miss that. I like having all my crap on a USB or the Mister or whatever, whatever you're using, and just not having to fool with the discs or tapes. I mean, I know people are nostalgic, but not me. Because I think some of the people, I was around for a long time when you used discs and tapes, 5 1/4-inch discs, 3 1/2-inch disc tapes, and it sucked. It was not fun. It was not joyous. Mm-hmm. Now, I can understand how people have nostalgia for different stuff, but for me personally, it didn't do it, brother. Mm-hmm. I want it all, and I want it now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't, with the limited amount of time that we have for doing our gaming, I don't want any of that taken up with loading. And then at the end of the loading time, there's always the fear that the game was not loaded correctly. You get an error, and you have to start all over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you are one of these people that does enjoy that sort of thing, you can check out Doug's video, The Grease Weasel.
Yeah, the price is right on this one. I mean, I will say that if you're going to sell something like this, and I will say that the Cat Weasel, whatever the other one was called, was in big demand and went for big, big money.
Yeah.
So this thing was due.
Now, Aaron, let's talk about this newest video from our new friend, 005 Amiga. Tell us about this one.
It's Agema.
Agema, I'm sorry, boy. I've said that so many times wrong.
Well, I just thought this was interesting since we were just talking about Amy West. The Agema here rolled into the it was the Perth Amiga users group here, and I thought it might be fun just to kind of flip through. I remember we talked about the differences last time.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of a low key affair here at the community center. I think it's neat just to see. I enjoy these sorts of things. He talks to some fellas, and they're just your regular Joes who have their various Amigas there, and they're playing some games and talking about it. I mean, I love that, and I think this is something that we've gotten in common with people all over the world. That's the best thing about being into a community like the Amiga, is that you've got something in common with people in Germany and in the UK.
Absolutely. Of course, the only kid there is playing the Genesis, so he knows what's up.
Oh, there's more kids, trust me. But look at that control panel that kid's
I love that thing.
But they've got a whole swath of gimmicks. So they have, they had giveaways. I believe they even gave away an Amiga 2000 at this thing. And if you look at it, I mean, this isn't like the Taze Valley Classic Computer Club. This is like, they got a lot of people here.
Yeah, it looks like they drew pretty well. And having it in a community center, that was probably cheap.
That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
The problem is that they have a real problem with the bar.
Right. they're probably not friendly to alcohol at the community
center. Something tells me we should just be involved in the boozing community.
That's true.
Maybe we should call up Cody, Eric, the beer guys, and we should get in on that.
Right. But, right.
Anyway, I thought this was kind of neat. It's certainly worth a watch. I like Agema stuff, and I think it's interesting. And the fact that there's stuff here you wouldn't expect to see. They talk about the television. There's a Dick Smith. Somebody brought a Dick Smith wizard.
Oh, cool.
You know, and they mentioned Dick Smith. And of course, that's sort of close to me. Me and Brent have covered that a few times on the ARG.
Super 80.
Yeah, so pretty fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, Aaron, our final story of Amiga News this week is something that I'm actually pretty excited about. Because, you know, we've talked about the Checkmate, Stephen Jones Checkmate project, where you can take an A500, de-keyboard it, and put it into a big box case. But what was the Achilles heel with this thing all the time?
What was it?
It was the keyboard. Remember that the keyboard extension for this thing.
It looked weird.
It looked weird, and it looked not great.
But wasn't that good?
Yeah. So, check this thing out, Aaron.
Yeah, because I haven't seen
somebody that has created a mechanical keyboard for the A2000, and this thing is worthy of a separated keyboard status, okay? What this guy did, and this comes to us from Amiga Love's forum, which is a pretty active forum.
Oh, yeah.
G.R. Shaw has created this thing from scratch, but unlike so many other keycaps and replacement keyboards and things that we've seen in the past, this thing is made all from standard parts. Is all parts that you
can... Is that picture real?
This is a real picture.
Why does it look so strange?
Well, it's because this is new plastic versus 30-year-old yellow plastic.
Look at the LED.
Well, that's just when you take a picture of an LED, it always looks weird. What?
Are you sure that's real?
I'm positive it's real. Look, he's not pulling one over on
that's
us.
That's bizarre.
So the only thing that is not factory made is this PCB. So he's designed this PCB.
Yeah.
He's got this uses your normal Cherry mechanical keyboard switches.
Oh yeah, you gotta have those.
And he used a print on demand company that does keycaps because these are all standard keycaps. It's a place called WASD Keycaps, and I'm telling you, Aaron, if I ever go your route and invest in the old wedge for the Mister, this is what I'm going to be doing because these WASD keycaps. Let me put this up. WASD keycaps. These things look great. You can essentially order any color, any shade, any custom keycaps. I'm going down here to the bottom where the custom keycaps are. You can get symbols printed on these things. You can get, so if you, for example, if you want the run stop key to be a different key, you know, you pop it off and you can put it wherever you want on the keyboard. Yeah. You get it to say run stop. That's always the issue using the Mister with some of these old computer systems is that they've got the keys that are not standard. So you can go that route and not lose any of the functionality of your Windows style keyboard like the ill-fated KeyRaw project. So
well, it's not ill-fated. It worked fine. It's not his fault.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not ill-fated at all.
Maybe the slight cough instead of the ill-fated. So anyway, I think this thing is super cool. It looks like, you know, of course, the big thing with the keycap project and all these injection molded keyboards is these things are always, they cost a mint. This, you're essentially buying mass-produced parts as well as this custom PCB, which you can order from a company like PCBWay or something like that. Get it in. There's no soldering required. The only soldering that's involved is the through-hole soldering. There's no surface-mounted soldering. Uh-huh. You don't have to do any of that stuff. So I'm pretty amped about this thing because for the people that have that that A500 case with, or you know, the Checkmate case, and they're not happy with the keyboard, maybe they can work an angle.
I was gonna say because I thought the A500 gimmick, like how would this work? That this doesn't have the same. The A500 doesn't have a plate of ways to hook this up.
Well, this uses a 5-pin DIN connector, which was standard with the A2000 and the
right.
A3000. So I'm saying maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a way.
Like, what is your theory? I want to hear this.
Listen, I'm not a hardware guy. I don't know. Make it happen.
You based your whole argument on this, but there's no way to hook this to an Amiga 500 in a case.
Not yet. This story is going to spur development. Listen, before you know it
is?
there's going to be an A1000 keyboard. We'll finally get our replacement A1000 keyboards. Everything's possible.
Remember when we decided to veer away from hardware? This is the prime example right here why we did that. Anyway, I mean, I'm sure the people that... Now, listen, brother, Commander mechanical keyboard, forget boat, forget all this crap. How about a little something for the Amiga 1000, my friend?
Mm-hmm.
We're dying over here. We're dying over here. I want this for the 1000. Then you got something right here. I mean, you got something, but then you got something.
I understand. And speaking about got something, Aaron, we're going to round up our news story with our favorite place to buy all of your classic Commodore computer hardware and software, old RetroRewind.ca. Now, if you haven't heard of Retro Rewind before, first of all, you've been living under a rock. What are you doing? Okay? Retro Rewind, straight out of the confines of friendly Canada, are here for you with things like keycaps. They're here for you with Amiga OS updates. Amiga OS 3.2 available at Retro Rewind. The Kung Fu Flash Cart for the Commodore 64. Any kind of EEPROMs. They offer blank EEPROMs. They offer an EEPROM burning service. Even wacky stuff like a transit card for your C64 disk drive. If you're worried about your 1541 getting damaged when you take it to your local computing event, you can get one of these cards that keeps the head safe. But on top of that, they're also a full service repair depot.
Mm.
If you have parts that have come undone, if you've got twisted ports, whatever you need done.
You got there's an ointment for that.
No, that's true.
Twisted ports. That's no good.
Whatever you need. Frank is here for you, and his parts and his services are El Cheapo. And
yes,
I don't say that in terms of quality. I say it in terms of price. They are very affordable. And you can save 10% off this any order that you might have over at Retro Rewind by using the code AMIGOS10 at checkout. So I encourage all of you to head over to RetroRewind.ca right now. Get whatever you need and use that code AMIGOS10 at checkout. We do appreciate Retro Rewind for being an official sponsor of the Amigos podcast.
Well said, Boat. And by the way, Christmas is near.
Yes.
This is the time, brother,
mm-hmm.
to get up to Retro Rewind and get your significant other or your good buddy, your bosom chum, Get them a goodie.
That's
right. Don't even have it sent to you, because that's for suckers. Have it sent directly to your boy.
Directly to your boy, yeah. And I bet if you ask Frank real nice, he might even do a little bit of gift wrapping for you.
No, I don't think he's going to
do
that.
You don't think so? No. Probably not. Don't ask Frank
Somewhere
for gift
Frank
wrapping.
Just had a heart attack.
All right, Aaron, let's leave the wide, wonderful world of Amiga News and go on to this week's game, which is Street Rod.
Street Rod. You know, you ever played this one before this week, Buster?
Never heard of it.
I had heard of this, but I never played it because I'm not really a car guy. And I thought to myself, this looks like a game for car guys. And boy, was I right, Boat. So, Street Rod. You know, by the way, look at this. Look at this. Remember
paper
these?
Paper notes.
And
the only thing that's missing is you need your old glasses before the bifocal so you can cover your face entirely.
Well, also, part of the sheet's missing because my printer went AWOL here. But so Street Rod released on the Amiga in 90, Boat, the Clarion year. What a year that was.
It was a big year for the Amiga.
Yeah, and it was also, you're nearing your what I would call your peak,
right there.
This came on two discs and was released from an outfit called PZK Development Group. It's funny. When I went over to Lemon to look these guys up, it credits them, PZK, for doing a game called Blockout, a game called Street Rod 2, and a game called Tunnels of Armageddon. But when I went over to the Hall of Light, they did not credit them with any of those games. But from what I can tell, they had to have done them because they appear in the game.
I'm going
to
trust Lemon over Hall of Light in this case.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I looked at who made this and I thought to myself, this is a challenge. This is a challenge to talk about these people and their names. Because I can tell you right now, Bill Smith, not involved.
Yeah. Frank Jones, also not
a part. You know, when you deal with our good friends in Poland and their names, they're not messing around.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
They've got all the consonants.
Over there, no one's spelling out their name on the old Scantron.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? They put Z's and I's everywhere. So the coder for this was a fellow named Tomasz Pawlowski. He also worked on the sequel to this, Street Rod 2. Another coder was a guy named Wojtek Was. That's a good name. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Sounds like that band, The Was
yeah.
Not Was.
Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody Funk do the dinosaur.
Yeah. Funk. I'll Funk the Dinosaur better.
Please, listen, this is a PG show, Boat. The other coder, the third in the trio, Zbigniew Amonski. Right? Another great name.
Mm-hmm.
We need more Z's in our names.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's funny, those two fellows didn't do anything else on the Amiga. Now, a lot of the rest of this crew worked on the other games that the PZK was known for, Blockout, Street Rods 2, and Tunnels of Armageddon. We got to try that one, mm-hmm. by the way. That's a good name. Graphics done by Natalia Rabolswazka,
okay.
Renata Glazowazka, and Zbich Dabrowski.
I think
I like that.
A little blue there.
Listen, hey, I call them like I see them. And you'll notice that my printer, instead of putting a little gimmick there, just put a little one. Instead of having a little, like, a, whatever mystery symbol that is. Music, Dorota Blazazak.
Perfect.
And Marcin Grzowski.
That one's easy. That's just Grzowski.
That's Grzowski?
Yeah.
What about this part here where there's another or in there?
Well, you ignore that. Well, it's implied.
That's Grzowski. Anyway, a lot of interesting names there worked on this. Again, I doubt any of these are from Milwaukee,
no.
For example. ECS-OCS race game. This also got a release on the C64 and DOS. And I'm pretty sure the DOS version was the lead version. Mm. I know the Amiga one was not, and
okay.
It wasn't the C64 version. So, what do you do in Street Rod, Boat? Well, here's what you do, all right? You go out, start the game off with some cash,
mm-hmm.
all right? And you get yourself, in the old days, we had these things called newspapers, all right? And this is how you would get your news,
mm-hmm.
Boat. But they also had something in them called want ads. Remember
right.
want ads?
Vaguely.
And they had people selling stuff in them. So you go into the ads of this newspaper in the game, mind you, and you flip through there until you find a car you could afford.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did you ever buy a car in real life from the want ads?
I never have. No. Most of the cards I bought were other people's cards that I knew that were literally where they were begging me to, they were dying. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I swoop in. I am the vulture of used cars. I feed off the dead mm-hmm. of others. So you buy yourself a car. Now, this is a hot rod racing simulator, mm-hmm. okay? And I will say, they do get the spirit of the racing down. You buy your car, then it wheels into your garage. Mm-hmm. Okay, then it's time to go work on it.
Keep in mind, for those of you that are not watching, that are listening, this game is awash in atmosphere and I wouldn't say animation. Like in a normal Amiga game, if you pick your car, boom, it would appear in your garage on the next screen.
Yeah.
Okay, in this game, the car rolls in somewhat disarmingly under its own power.
Yeah, that is true. There's no driver in your car.
It rolls in, and you see it appear. You know, you see it roll into your garage, and it makes you excited. These cars are, there's a ton of cars in this game, and you can tell that the people that made this game were, if not gearheads themselves, enthusiasts of the scene because all your classic models are here.
And they are real cars.
Right.
What's amazing. So we should mention, this game takes place in 1963, the summer of 63. And you've got $750 to start. And you've got 12 weeks. The goal of the game is, in this 12 weeks, to accumulate enough money and enough knowledge to put together a car to beat the king.
The king.
The king has this awesome car with mm-hmm. a chick in it. Mm-hmm. And when you see the king, he doesn't even give you the time of day.
No.
Because you're, until you get up there.
He looks like the Fonz.
He does, and he should. Mm-hmm. So, you can just go buy a car, and then you're good to go, right? But that's not what a proper greaser from the 60s would do. You got to tinker with it. So, not only can you use the newspaper to buy cars, but you also can buy parts, mm-hmm. auto parts in it. And this is really the deepness of the game, such as there is. Which is, you go through the paper, and I mean, I'm talking 50 ads in the paper to find what you want. Do you want your car to be an automatic? Do you want it to be a standard? What kind of wheels do you want on it? What kind of transmission? What kind of everything? Gear shifts and everything else. Manifold, the mm-hmm. whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Now, you buy the parts you want. Now, in a lot of games, they would just be in your car. That's for suckers.
It is for suckers.
This game has a mechanic simulation element.
Yeah.
It's light.
Yeah.
Where you literally take your engine apart and then you have to put it back together. I mean, completely with unscrewing it, the mm-hmm. whole nine yards. Then you could also tune the car, mm-hmm. which I did. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've ever tuned a car It wasn't hard to tune.
So, something tells me this aspect of the game is somewhat dumbed down from... Well, we should actually talk about this segment since we're talking about it right now. I love this part of the game because it makes you feel like you're doing something and you have some elementary knowledge of cars when it's clear you have
none.
Like I do. And so when you open up when you pop the hood of this car, you see the engine before you. And it's held together by three, count them, three bolts, okay? Three bolts and a wiring piece, okay? If you take those three bolts off, all of the parts of the engine are available to you, okay? And so when you slot a new part on, you do have to put them in the correct order.
Yeah.
And it's not going to let you go out racing until you do that because your car is not running.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you have to learn that the manifold goes on and then the carburetors fit on top of it. There's multiple carburetors for your engine. And you have to match up the parts. So you can't put a Ford carburetor in a GM car. And you also have to know that Chevrolet is GM. This game makes you feel smart because I did know that. And I was like, I know something about cars. When in fact, everybody
probably knows that. They do mention that in the manual too.
Right.
So I think
now,
that'll help you.
I'm guessing that this game probably sold in somewhat, you know, significant quantities overseas. And not everybody does know that Chevy is GM. So that's probably important. But anyway, I liked that part of the game. I like going through the one ads. I like picking out parts. Now, where the game sort of falls short is that the game gives you no sort of training in what makes a car go fast, other than the fact that the most expensive things are usually called, like, racing, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right. Yeah, you have to... I think the game assumes that you have at least a limited knowledge of cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's being generous to say that about me. But I imagine shuffle through.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you could literally spend, if you've got, when you earn enough money, you could spend quite a bit of time just going through the one ads. You also can have multiple cars,
right,
as you mentioned. So you can be tuning a bunch of different cars.
Yeah. So what happens is when you race for pink slips in this game, when you win, a new car appears in your garage. And when you switch it out, the old car rolls out and the new car rolls in. And it's exciting. When you get a new car and it rolls into your garage, you're like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep my old car and soup it up, you know, sell the parts off this one. When you sell a car in this game, there's negotiation that goes on. You can barter with the guy a little bit that wants to buy your car. That part's cool, too.
Yeah. You can also – now, so you've got the ability to buy your car. By the way, you can also just get enough money to buy a car outright. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do that. So you're in your garage. You can, aside from tuning and changing tires and all that stuff, you can also decorate the car.
Right.
You can paint it, and then you can also put stickers on it, which are, they're funny stickers. My personal favorite, I'm not a cop, is the one stickers you can get.
Maybe you've heard this, but if you ask somebody if they're a cop, and they're a cop, they have to say they're a cop.
I guess if you just put it on your car, they don't have to even ask.
Right.
They could speed in front of you or shoot a guy. No, that guy's not a cop. We're good. Let's do drugs.
you can alter the physical appearance of your car in other ways, too. You can chop the top. See, I'm using the lingo.
Very good, Boat.
You can remove the bumpers. You can, and all of these things affect the performance of your car. Obviously, when you lower the top of the car, it makes it more aerodynamic. When you remove the bumpers, you can go faster because you're removing weight, but it's a trade-off. Because if you wreck your car, you're going to do more damage if you've removed the bumpers.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the racing part. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
We're not done in the garage yet.
Right.
You also have a calendar up there that will tell you the date and has it like sort of an end date.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, this takes place over the summer. I think it was September 15th. That's when it's when you run out of time. You have to go back to school or whatever.
Right.
Which is funny because I don't know how old your guy's supposed to be in this. But apparently he goes to school.
This is probably a new 17, 18-year-old guy.
You've also got a radio you can turn on and off. The tunes, I mean, the tune's okay, but you do kind of get old.
There are multiple tunes, and they're sort of in that 50s rockabilly type style.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did.
They didn't exactly Amiga them up either.
No.
They're sort of like, well, the Sound Blaster or the Tandy music will be good enough.
Yeah.
And they took it over. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this was a port of the Tandy version because the colors and stuff. The sound, it wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, once you're done in your garage, you hit the button or you put the cursor over the point where that door is in the garage and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, we should also mention you can also go for gas in
the
garage. There's a gas can. And you're going to notice that in some areas of this game, you're driving through the streets and you have no control because you're not really driving. It's just showing you driving.
Whenever you drive into town, if you're not racing, you don't have control over your car.
Do you think they missed an opportunity there? I know this is 1990, but it would have been, I would have kind of liked they just got to drive everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Because they already have the engine in there.
Yeah.
They should have done that. Absolutely.
So I don't know why they did it that way. Maybe just to make it easier. So you have to go and get yourself some gas. And so you go to the gas station. You can go to the full service, or you can go to the do it yourself. I will say I like the fact that the gas station attendant is sleeping, wedged up against the wall, and then whenever you don't top off your tank, he sort of laughs at you. You know.
Now I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten full service gas in West Virginia?
Yeah, tons of times. Back when I was a kid. I mean, me personally, no. But my dad did.
Because the last place I remember that was full service only was Old Witts. And now they don't even have gas anymore.
Well, the place I remember was that Rich's Gas and Nitro was full service for like right till the end. You know, I don't know, but I don't think there's a single gas station in the state I've never seen one that's full service
anymore.
Yeah, I
don't think so. Yeah.
Now, I know in other states it's mandatory.
Right.
Because those states are stupid.
Yes.
They'd assume you cannot actually get your own gas.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I guess getting gas is sort of a mini game. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, not really, because there's no time constraints.
Right, but he gives you the business whenever you don't get a full tank or whatever.
Right.
And then you ever notice that you never put your gas cap back on in the game?
Yeah, that is weird.
It just sort of appears after you leave. So once you've got gas, you've tuned up your car, and you've put whatever parts you've picked up. Keep in mind, you only had $750 to start. Then it's time to roll down to the old drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the deals go down. And so when you get to the drive-in, it's your typical-looking drive-in. It looks nice. And you've got a guy that looks like the Fonz sort of sitting out front. And you've got cars that are going to drive by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when these cars drive by, they're almost like, it's almost like they're on display. The guy, because the guy looks out the window at you, or the girl, or whoever's in there, and then you could click on the car and you could check out what the guy's got. Like, mm-hmm. I guess you're like, hey, what do you got in that thing?
Yeah, you can click on the engine.
Yeah.
And by the way, we should mention that this game is 100% controllable by joystick, which I love.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did.
I use the mouse and joystick when I do that.
And you can, if you click on the engine, it opens up and you can see what, now you can't actually look at the parts and see exactly what it is. You can basically, just as if you were in real life, if it looks like a big engine, it's probably fast.
Yeah, and when they pull up, it tells you the make and the model of the car,
mm-hmm.
and it tells you the guy's name. So you can choose to click on the car. Aside from just looking at what's in it, you can say, hey, do you want to race? And you get two choices. You get road race and drag race. And then once you pick a race, you can pick what the stakes are. The stakes can be just for fun. Those are stakes for weenies.
Yeah.
Then you've got, I think, $10, $25, $50. And then if you get to the point where this can happen, pink slip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're racing for each other's car. There's two types of races in this, a drag race and a road race. Drag race is very straightforward. You drive straight forward, and then whoever wins at the finish line, it wins the race.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Road race is more like let's say, 5-mile race.
Well, I did read in the manual, because they actually do give the distances.
Is it?
The road race is 2.5
miles. 2.5
miles. And I believe that the drag race is either a quarter mile or a half mile.
Yeah. I will say the drag race is not what I would call... It doesn't feel like, if you see a real drag race, like, they're real fast.
Yeah, it's over in like a second.
Now, these are more extended.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, once you pick one, let's say we'll start off with drag race. You're both at the line, and there's a stoplight in front of you. And when the thing hits green, you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. Now, I always picked cars that were not automatic because I can't drive a stick.
Well, you also can't afford stick shift cars at the beginning of the game.
Oh, you can swap out the stick instantly.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. But you got enough money.
Yeah.
I can't drive a stick, but if I know a lot about it because my dad talks about popping the clutch and mm-hmm. all scrap. So the stick provides you a lot more jack mm-hmm. when a deal goes down.
Right.
But I was too big a wuss. So you get on the line, you start, and you take off. Now, I will say this game, graphically, when it comes to the racing, it's somewhere between Test Drive and Night Driver.
Well, basically. I mean, compared to a game like Test Drive 2, The Duel, which I call Test Drive 2, The Deuce, because it sucks, this game is so much faster. This game gives you a sense of racing that's so much better than that piece of garbage. So
no,
I wouldn't compare it to a game
as bad
as that.
Hold on a second, back up a minute. Test Drive 2 is cool.
No, it's not.
It's a good game, and it's good on the Amiga.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. And so I don't think this game is. It is faster, but it's also the landscape's a lot sparser too. But all that said, it is similar to Test Drive 2, and though I will give it credit, you get rear view mirror and side view. You don't see that very often in games.
This game really does the rear view mirror well.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, your opponent scales in both mirrors.
Yeah.
Whether or not the side view mirror was necessary, probably not.
If they're coming up on your left, it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I will say other versions of the game, they didn't get as cool of mirrors as we got.
Mm-hmm.
They like sometimes I can't remember if it's the IBM or the Commodore 64, but they just have lights that will show up, like two big balls of light that are
right.
coming. I mean, you know they're coming. But, I mean, the mirrors are important, especially the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So here was my strategy for the drag race boat. I pumped the juice when and then I put it in gear the second the light went, right? And then I immediately rammed into the other guy.
Yeah, that's
right?
the strategy.
Screw that
that's
guy.
Right.
And then I took off. Now, I won a ton of races doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I did not find the racing that difficult. Now the road racing,
we should differentiate between the drag race and the road race.
Yeah, so tell them about the road race.
I want to talk a little bit about the drag race.
Okay, go ahead.
So the drag race, you pretty much know right off the bat if you're going to win. Because if you adopt your strategy, which I also use, which is bump the guy, get in front of him, and take off, you're going to win. But if you're up against a faster car, you haven't got a prayer because he's just hotter off the line.
Yeah. You've got to get – I mean, you can beat a faster car, but you've got to catch him quick.
Right.
You got to veer into him right away.
Right. Now, the road race is difficult because it's so long. I mean, it really takes a long time to finish a road race, and it's a pretty unforgiving thing. Now, I mean, it is realistic, because if you go off the road and you hit something, then you're screwed.
And
you
wreck
your car.
Yeah.
What's hilarious is when you wreck your car, not only does your windshield shatter, but all of your gauges on the instrument cluster also shatter.
Yeah.
I don't know what's caused that, but it's a nice effect. And at that point, you get the choice of either repairing your car for a cost or just junking your car and starting over. Your opponent is a much better racer than you are. Your opponent is not likely to go off the road. And also, you can wreck your car just by ramming into the back of your opponent. I found the road race to be incredibly difficult. In fact, I never finished a road race.
Oh, geez, they weren't that bad.
I thought, now maybe it's because I was trying to win, and if I wasn't winning, I'd quit.
Did you go full blast the whole road
race?
Heck
yeah, I did.
That's why you wrecked. You've got to slow it down a little bit, dude, when you're going on curves. You know, by the way, you'd learn that if you played a little test drive too. But anyway, in the road race, there's curves, and this game's deceptive. The curves look gentle, but they're tough. If you're hauling tail, and depending on what kind, also your tires make a difference too on that. The grip you've got. I've won tons of road races. I didn't think that was that hard. I can tell you right now, you could sit down and you could win drag races all day long if you bump. And by the way, bumping's in the manual. It's like, you should bump the guy, and it works. You've got to make sure you're racing people that you know you can beat. And when something comes up that looks awesome, and you look at it, and you're like, man, it's probably awesome.
Right.
So what will help you is to win some money as much as you can. I usually will win money until I'll get my first pink slip, and then that's when it goes down.
Right.
Because then you've got a bunch of money to play with. You can start jacking up your cars. Now, I can't sit here and tell you which cars I used. I went by the money system, whichever car looked the most expensive and it was an automatic. I will say, if you can drive a stick in this, it helps a lot, because those are the cars that are, everything I've read, those cars do better.
Yeah.
Like, you can
and
do
there's
more
the,
tricks.
The win condition in this game is not exact. It's not as if, like, when you get X amount of money or you're driving this kind of car, you win. Every once in a while, the king pulls up in the drive-in.
Yeah.
And if he's not into racing you, he'll say, no way. But when you get to be good enough, then he'll race you. And it's never spelled out. And that's kind of cool, because it puts a little bit more mystery into the game, and it's not as if it's game over if the king doesn't want to race you. You just keep on going. People will say no to you the first time, and then if you ask them again, they'll say yes, which is weird, but also kind of realistic, because that's the way that people are too.
If you try to do freebies too often, they're going to be like, take off. That's something you do maybe once.
Well, freebies are good for testing out, like, if you just upgraded your car and you want to see if anything has changed. The issue with freebies is that it takes time, and you're under the clock in this game. Because one of the few complaints I have with this game, actually I have two main complaints. As you mentioned, when you're racing, the scenery is very sparse. I would have liked to have seen you going through intersections in a town, seeing more things on the road. We're going to compare this game to the DOS version in just a second. And they do, first of all, the racing is just better on the DOS version. The graphics are poor, but the racing aspect is better. I will say that the speed angle, which is the number one thing in a racing game, if you don't get a sensation of speed, the game is straight up garbage, okay? This game nails the speed aspect. You feel like you're driving fast. But the other thing is, they should have given you an on-screen way to see how time passes. Like, it says in the manual, like, if you do body work on your car, you waste a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. But the only way you really see that is if you're constantly clicking on the calendar. I would have liked to have seen an on-screen display of what day it was all the time.
It is odd. Really, the time aspect of this, I mean, I can see it, because otherwise you'd just be playing this thing into infinity, you know? But I would rather just let you play till you beat the king and not worry about the time. You're right. That is weird. But, I mean, I guess it's a sense of urgency.
Right.
You know, and it gives you – you can't just go in there and just tinker forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people, they probably don't pay much attention to that.
Here's the thing. Once you develop your system, you're going to be – you can cheat the game anyway. Because once you figure out the upgrade path, then you can just start a new game and do it all immediately.
So, yeah.
And that's what the person that's playing this game – I will tell you that if you do everything perfect, it looks like from this full playthrough, you can get through this game in about 45 minutes. I watched this complete playthrough, and it's the same gameplay loop. It's, you know, race for pink slips, sell the other car, or sell your previous car, use the money to buy upgrades – repeat ad nauseum.
Yeah, yeah. I think I think where this game stands out, or people that are interested, if you're a car guy,
yeah,
it is fun. You got to think, this is 1989, 1990. There wasn't a lot of games that were like this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not tuning cars or replacing carburetors or transmissions or all that stuff. If you're a gearhead, this gives you all the kind of fun stuff that you can't do. You start to suspend your disbelief a little bit because, you know, but I mean, it's still kind of neat.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat to work in your car. I mean, this is we've seen this sort of game moved on to like Midnight Clubs like that, where you can do this sort of thing, you know, the more modern versions, but this is early on. And I think it's clever. And I think they capture the time period. You know, they got a lot of stuff right. I mean, is it the deepest game? No. Is it the best racing game? No. But it's still fun.
Right. If you're looking for Lotus, this is not going to do it for you. Okay. No. But this game is totally unique. There's not another game. There's tons of games that let you upgrade your car parts. I mean, almost every racing game with any amount of depth does. But they don't let you pop the hood and install the parts yourself.
Yeah.
You don't see the parts. You know, they just sort of appear in your car. And the amount of cars that are in this game that you can drive, not to mention that when you go into these cars, a lot of times the interiors are different, and you know they put time into this sort of thing, and in a lot of other games they just didn't, and that gets big points from me.
Yeah, you can even get, and when you're racing, the cops can come into play. Mm-hmm. You can get pulled over for speeding. If you don't have the money to pay a ticket, they go.
You go to the jail, and it's game over.
Yeah. In fact, I got pulled over by a cop just past the finish line, so I ended up winning. But I mean, he was right on my tail. That was pretty exciting.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. If this is your era or you're a car guy, I think this is your bag. It's still light entertainment, so I enjoyed it. And really, the racing is okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the worst we've seen.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not the worst,
and the meat of the game is in upgrading your car and soaking in the atmosphere.
This is the perfect example of something being better than the sum of its parts.
Absolutely.
You know, and so on along those lines, I think I enjoyed it. Now,
well, let's take a look at this port comparison real quick. So we have on the left, we have the Amiga version, and on the right, we have the PC version. And so if you look at the PC version, the drive-in, I mean, you're right, Tandy graphics is what that
screams
to me. Well,
you're looking like 16 colors,
yeah.
The EGA style,
yeah.
Graphics.
However, when you start a race, you will notice, as I move forward to a race here, that the car or the scenery itself, there's bushes on the side of the road, there are things that look like maybe garbage cans or something. There's other things on the road.
It's not as smooth though, is it?
We're watching side by side right now.
Yeah,
it's faster, and again,
it's not as, but it's jerkier than the Amiga version. I think the Amiga version is smoother. I mean, it's funny that they didn't. I mean, we know the Amiga could have put something over there. I don't know why they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, the scenes where you're going to the gas station, you're going to the diner, and you go through town. Like, why didn't they just have some of that out there?
Right, right.
You know? Now, the inside of the car doesn't look as good.
No.
I mean, and that also doesn't have the gimmick hanging from the mirror.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't have the fuzzy dice. This is an example of, you know, the differences that I just don't think that the PC at this day, you know, the EGA graphics, they just couldn't pull off. This is definitely a game where the Amiga graphical power is superior.
Yeah, and this, we mentioned there is a sequel to this, C-Rod 2. Now, I haven't played it because I never do.
Right.
I never know we're going to get to them. But I am kind of intrigued, because what I'd like to see is a game like this that they really make for the Amiga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put in the good sound.
Yeah.
Put in the, like, go into deluxe paint, make some really nice pictures. Do some scenery, you know. Maybe have some stuff where you go through town. You know, maybe have a little bit more. Maybe make that gas thing an actual mini game. Maybe make some of the tuning. You can make little mini games out of those, because really, right now, they're kind of puzzly, but that's about it.
The tuning was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because it tells you where to tune your engine to for optimum performance.
I think about something like that covert action game we played, where they took every conceivable thing and they made it a mini game,
yeah.
And that made it more fun.
Right.
You know, and you didn't like all the mini games, but they were still more fun. Now, if you're a gearhead, maybe you just want to toy around with that stuff, but if you're going to go that route, really get in there and make it for gearheads. Make it more difficult to pull with the engine.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But, I mean, they've got... I like the premise a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And it is a romantic period in American history. This era of the late 50s, early 60s, where people were racing these hot rods and running around town. It's fun. And I think they stumbled onto something here. And I think they were definitely passionate about it. Like you said, they obviously know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you look through the newspapers and stuff, there's a ton of crazy ads in there. And the fact that they use real cars, they probably couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
You know, stuff
well,
like that.
Well, I mean, you'd have to pay. I'm sure that they didn't pay any licensing for any of this stuff.
Everyone in here is smoking. I also mentioned that when you beat the king, you also get his girl.
That's right.
That's convenient. That worked out good. So, it's kind of cool. That's the way it was.
And she says, "I've always believed in you."
Yeah. So, listen, disingenuous girlfriend is no doubt. I looked this up, but first of all, I want to talk about the eBay on this first before we get to the reviews. I was surprised there. I couldn't find any of these that had sold recently or were for sale. Okay, however. This must be a pretty rare game because I saw the IBM version selling for $100.
Mm.
And I saw the sequel selling for pretty big money too.
By all accounts, this was released in the United States.
I don't know. Okay. I have no way to say yes.
But it was selling in America. Do you remember if the auctions were American based?
I don't remember
okay,
that.
Okay.
It was English. That's as far as I could go. So one would assume, but you never know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was sold here or not. Now, I looked this up on Lemon to see what the scores were. The folks over at Lemon give this an 8.21. I want to, before we move on, remember Metal Gear, what did they give Metal Gear, a 7 or something like that? So this was this was leagues and leagues above Metal Gear.
Right.
Now, I like this game, but I mean...
This is no Metal Gear, I'll tell you that.
The folks over at ACAR back in November of 90 gave us an 82. Amiga Joker, you ready? 82. It got over with the Joker.
Yeah, interesting.
Info gave this 4 out of 5 stars, the average magazine rating 82%. Did you get any Discord action on
that? We did. We got one review from Pajaco 6502.
He's a reviewing machine.
He says, "I like racing games, but this one just didn't grab me. It looks, sounds, and plays like a game from the earlier in the Amiga's life. You really only get one ride to start with and no parts to try out. A bit more would have been good. Cosmetic changes that cost are possible, but they don't do much, and really you should save your cash for actual parts. Has some nice elements, like taking engines apart to upgrade them. However, there are too many menus to click through, and it gets a little tedious after the novelty is worn off. If you lose your first race for money as I did, or wreck your car, it's game over and you have to restart. Racing itself is lethargic and dull. An upgrade, race upgrade is just a rinse and repeat process. Not the worst game, but not the best either. 5 out of 10. So Pajaco didn't like it.
Well, you know, he raises some valid points here. This game can give you some of that same old feeling. You know, I think the upgrade system is actually quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was that bad either. I didn't think it was that hard to win.
I found this game to be pretty addictive,
actually. On the Amiga, this is one of your more approachable games.
Yeah.
As far as I, certainly, I mean, I got in there and I was in there going to work. I tuned the engine. Once I tuned that engine up, man, I was good to go. And then once you get a couple wins under your belt, you see how everything works. It almost becomes, I won't say pedestrian. It's not that tough to win.
Which I like.
You get to choose. There's 25 different cars in this, okay, which is, that's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the options that you've got to use, I mean, I think that's the you have to get into that element of the game.
Right.
If you're just here for the racing, this is not Lotus. This is, like you mentioned.
I really, and I can't undersell the fact, I love the way they do it at the drive-in. I love watching, because you don't know what's going to roll up. And sometimes it's so funny. I mean, because I think that these are kind of procedurally generated where they'll take a random person, random car color, and random car and mash them together, random sticker. And when you see like a lady pull up in some like Stingray Corvette and it says Big Chief on the side or something and she's smoking, you're like, man, I bet this girl's got personality. I like that part of it.
If you hang around the diner long enough, you'll see the chick come out on skates, taking orders.
All that stuff is great.
But I mean, you have to sit there for a while before she comes out usually.
And maybe this has to do, I'm a sucker for the, you know, sort of Happy Days type of setting.
Yeah.
And so,
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. I like all the atmosphere and stuff like that. So,
but we can both agree that this concept could have been fleshed out 100 times better.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right, Aaron, well, that's going to do it for the Discord reviews this week. So why don't we roll on to talking about what's been going on in the wider Amigos community on our YouTube channel. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me, Boatster.
All right,
let's
man.
It.
Let's do it. So Da, 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 da.
There's the boat sound effects kicking in. You got 50 tabs. You couldn't have this one open?
Listen, you got to have 50 tabs open. All right. Why don't we kick things off, Aaron, with our latest and greatest. Why don't we go back to ARG this week? Tell us about this wacky computer you guys talked about.
Oh, man. This week, me and the Brent took on the Comex 35.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of this
machine
boat. But boy, it's neat. A neat little machine, built-in joystick on the thing. This thing has a mysterious past. It came from the depths of Hong Kong. No one's for sure.
Big in the Netherlands, though, right?
Yeah, big in the Netherlands and a few other places. It got sold over Europe. And we ended up looking at a couple games. And I have to say, the games were okay. Man, all things considered. Skip forward a little bit
okay. There,
and we'll look at the games. I looked at a game. This is sort of the premier game on the system. It's called Get Your Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a helicopter game where you fly around, but it's sort of like what it reminds me of. It's sort of almost like a Manic Miner in a helicopter. It's a screen-by-screen game. But the keyboard controls actually give you an element of control you wouldn't normally experience in a game like
that. It seems like you kind of move forward one block at a time. Is that
right?
That's
correct. Mm-hmm. And you also, much like a choplifter, you could spin to have like a forward view. The controls are interesting. This game was made to be brutal. Actually, I dug up some forum posts from the fellows that made this, and they actually had never finished it. They didn't think anyone could ever get all the gadgets, but people have. And so the game doesn't have an ending, ironically, but it's getting all the gadgets is nigh impossible.
Yeah, well, didn't they say that it actually was impossible because nobody thought that you could do it?
Well, it's
possible.
Or
when you get it, nothing happens.
Nothing happens, right? Okay, yeah, right. So this was a fun game. And then Brent looked at a game. Now, this was something that I'd never heard of this concept of this thing. Brent looked at a game called Cross Horde.
Mm.
And this game is released by a guy named Fabrizio Caruso. And he actually commented. We had a couple people that comment on this game and some of the games. This is a series of games that are being ported to hundreds of different platforms.
This is based off a special language, right, that allows that to be done easily.
That's right. And Brent goes into it on the show. Mm-hmm. And actually, Crossword, it's a real slow game to start, but it's actually pretty fun. And once you get into it, and this appears on, like, if you've got a machine that can do anything, you could probably play this on it.
Mm.
There's a version of it. So if you're into, like, your C64, your Amiga, your IBM, you know, whatever you've got, this is something you can play on there. And it's actually kind of fun. It takes the concepts behind like a Space Invaders game, except it changed it to the point where every invader moves at his own accord in a big mob. It's almost like they're running at you and you're fighting them off, and there are power-ups. It's a pretty interesting game. It starts off slow. I wish it was a way to skip to like level 10 and make it more interesting right away, but we enjoyed it. So yeah, we had a real good time with the Comex 35. We might come down that road again someday.
I love it. I love that episode.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear? Oh, good.
Yeah. I told you like 8,000 facts that I would not know.
Well, I will say you got a valid point there. I'll give you that. Does anyone use that mode?
No, okay. That's the worst thing that's ever happened
that?
To life.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Aaron.
Look at that handsome devil.
Well, yeah. Mikey. We did Mikey on R. Sinclair. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I do.
You know, Mikey is... every time we do an arcade port, almost every time, I say this is the best arcade port on ZX Spectrum because there are so many good ones.
Yeah.
There are so many good ones, and Mikey is no exception. Mikey is not the most well-known game from Konami, that's for sure. But I've always liked this game since the Brent turned me onto it way back when.
Yeah.
This is a game where you play as a high schooler and you run amok trying to get letters from your woman and eventually hook up with her and drive off into the sunset. This is comes out of Japan and
big time.
Yeah, big time, big time. In fact, the Japan was so afraid that high schoolers in Japan were going to start to copy Mikey's delinquent movements. They changed the release in Japan and changed it into a salaryman. So kind of wacky, but if you're into the ZX Spectrum and you want to hear our thoughts on Mikey and its history and development, make sure you tune in. This was a real fun one to
this
do.
This was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a surprise it got ported. It's a surprise that how well it was. I will say, I can see the Japanese were upset when a guy runs around and headbutts everything.
Right.
Which they also changed. It's neat that everyone on Earth got the original version of this except for the place that made it.
It so, is. Yeah. It's true. It's true. All right, Aaron. And now we move into the little thing that you've done. Why don't you tell us about this one, Aaron?
This was from last Friday. This is another in a series of Amigo Aaron disaster streams. This was just some straight up Amiga action, man. I want to get back to the roots. And so back we went. We had a lot of interesting games. I played some stuff I've been meaning to play, and some suggestions that I got. Just the usual stuff. We had a good time. This game here, Boat, is a Doom clone, by the way. And I'm trying to get the name of it. It's DM. Somebody can help me. I can't remember off the top of my head. This was a more recent game, and it's got multiplayer. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of a... I mean, you hate this type of game.
I do.
But this one's somewhere between the game you hate and Doom.
I was going to say, it's almost like a Wolfenstein more
it
than a
is.
Doom.
It is. But yeah. It's not bad. You know. So we had a good time, Boaster.
Cool. All right. We move on to our last video this week, which, of course... Oh, no, I'm talking... I was about ready to say it's a Frodo video, but it's not.
No, this is actually the Brent. We were just talking about it. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was cleaning up the hard drive last night. And I came across this because there was 33 seconds of video from this game on the internet anywhere for the ComX 35. And Brent played this thing a half hour. And I thought, man, we got to do something with that.
Yeah.
And so I put it up, bro.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And it's up now. So if anybody wants to check it, because really you need to watch about 20 minutes before you can really get the full feel of the thing. But if you want to watch the Brent going to work, and certainly the longest look at Crosshorde that there is on the internet, this is it. And we've got it on our channel. I know people are clamoring for it. all the ComX 35 action you can find, it's right here.
Hopefully, I want to see some more ComX action. Maybe you'll record some more footage.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, that's going to do it for our community updates this week. It's time to move on to the end of the show. Okay, so we've got many...
We're really moving on.
We're moving on to the end of the show. Of course, we got to talk about the last week's Patreon challenge. It's been a couple weeks since we've done, since we've talked about this. And I'm going to pull up our winners, okay? So, let's see. Last week's song was Hey Soul Sister by Train. Do you like that song?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Blip Blop, Rob O'Hara, Frodo Mannell, Adam Freeman, Gary Heather and Jigglebox got it.
It's funny. I was thinking we didn't have a song last week. Am I nuts?
Maybe last week, did you and Brent do the show? Or did we
no.
didn't have the show last week? Because we did it on Wednesday. That's why it's just been so long.
Okay.
I was hesitating, too. We did the show early last week, which makes it seem like it's been longer. We also got a new patron this week, Aaron. And he wrote us a little note.
Okay,
so beautiful. I'd like to read it. And he did give me permission to read this.
Okay. Good for you to ask.
Yeah, I did ask, because it's a little personal. He says, I discovered the podcast through the Retro Hour when me and Neil were on talking about when we started This Week in Retro. You know, me and Neil went on the Retro Hour to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Up a little bit.
Oh, you gave us a little plug on
there?
Yeah,
and I gave us a little plug on there. So he looked us up, and he said, the Amiga was not a system I grew up with being here in the States.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah,
non-factor.
Yeah.
But I was familiar with it via the computer gaming magazines I was constantly devouring. It was something I lusted after. It's only actually been the last few years that I started diving into it. It's been so fun having a whole new world of games to check out. In a way, I'm glad I never had one back in the day. It's great having a huge back catalog of retro games now. That's right. I feel that way about a lot of systems,
yeah,
like the Coco and the Speccy. This year has been incredibly rough for me. While I won't go into specifics, the podcast has been a huge bright spot. I work third shifts as a custodial lead at a local college, so it's the perfect thing to listen to help break up the night and put me in a better space. Thank you guys so much for all you do. He says, as far as what I prefer for the Patreon song and shirt, could you put me down as We Like What We Like? Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I truly appreciate it. All the best, Brandon Bennett. So thank you,
That's
Brandon.
That's awful nice. Well, hey, yeah. You know, listen, I've worked that late shift, my friend. I understand. And I listen to podcasts like you. I consume the heck out of them. So it's nice you're getting some pleasure from listening to our idiotic ramblings. I think that's dandy, Boo.
Yeah, yeah. And of course now, Aaron, you know, it's been so long since we've been together. I could have recorded something ahead of time, but it's been a long time since you've had a chance to experience the Patreon song live and in person.
Oh, I knew we were going to have a problem here.
Okay. I thought about another Spice Girls medley, but I decided against it.
Oh, man. I knew I should have had a cocktail when I came over.
So here we go. If you know this week's Patreon song challenge, send me an email at john@amigospodcast.com. If you're watching live, please don't write it in the chat. Keep it fun for everyone.
Well, Don't be too busy recoiling in horror. Oh, man. That's good. And with a cold.
Yeah, with a cold. Here we go.
Snotty. What is that?
We like what we like, Mr. Chip, Peter Price, Herman V. Wonderly Chesum, Margaret Richardson. David Hearn, Chris Edwards, Rom, David Terrace, Drew Carlos, Matthew Mobius, The Phantom, Seth Yates, Alistair Fien, Christian Russell, David Z, George Rosen, Skin, The Amiga Show, Daniel Crabtree, Super Famic King, Chris Loomis, William Vince, Scott, Heaven Systems, Inc., but Deep, Lord. Mark by Lund, Olaf Hope, Hermsky, Alien Breed, and Velociraptor. Cowboy Boy, Landinson, Daniel Williams, Luke Hutz, and John Cook bomb the base, Frodo in hell. Soul Incisor.
What the hell was that?
Tech Mage Jurgen. Mr. Cola, Bernard Lucas, Jerry Dinnington. Zorgub Reflection. Simon Lynch, Captain Crispy, Kilobytes, and Caffeine, Gary Heather, Freelance Hate Fox, David Pickford, Cameron Armstrong, Andy Jones, Lobsterminator, 10 Minute, Amiga Retrocast, Bernard Quinn, RMC, Tim Drew, Joseph Harrison, Kyle Litter,
Rob O'Hara, Matthew Lamar, and
Craig, Sean Zoe, Bob Pitt, Roland Burke, Andrew Monks,
John, the Zombie, Leaf, Kalan, Alan Kebab, Check Out the Level Lord,
John Marshall, Matthew Perrone, Ricky DeRosa, Creepy Dead Boy, Figure CTZ, The Slow Noah, Stefan Sorgan, Ron Mortensen, Edmund Helen, Christopher Hastafel, Ravi Abbott, Chris Woods, Laura Giroux, Graham Demke, Adam Battersby, O'Brien's Retro Vintage, Gary Huck, Paul Harrington, Duncan Styles, Tales from the Crypt, Josh, and Adam Bradley, Jonas Rulo, THG, Eric Nelson, Kim, Tommy, Humbert, Stad, Danny Bingston, Brutal Barracuda, Darren Coles, Jason Wallace, Pixels of Dawn, and Kjellbjorn Barman.
I'll see you in another 2 years, Bert. I knew I left this sucker for a reason. Sweet Georgia Brown, Bert.
You know, it's a different feeling when you experience it in person, isn't it?
It is. It's a sick feeling.
You know,
it's a real sick feeling. But
some say it hurts so good.
No, they don't say that.
Nobody says that? Well, now, Aaron, of course, we couldn't go anywhere without acknowledging the fine, fine work that our Twitch subscribers do. You know, as you know, we record this show live every week. I don't know if you knew that, Aaron.
I've heard that, yeah.
We actually do. And if you'd like to watch us live and support us on Twitch, you can. If you've got an Amazon Prime subscription, you can actually use that. It costs you nothing, and we get a little financial support out of it. We'd like to thank our Twitch subscribers. Eeyore4077, AmiSteph, BlueTrain, MonzaMess, Orom, JohnMarshall3, BlowJellyfish, Mitsuyama, TwilightZoner, Macintosh Librarian, Pixel Rageous, Uber Scuba Diver, Wide World of Retro, Gary Heather, Dragon Bray, no, Data Ombre. I need to
make
like
this Dragon Bray. I like Data Ombre too.
That's
both
true.
Good, Boat.
Da Crabs MTG, Retro Jerry, the real Retro Dude.
Oh,
not the fake one.
Man.
This is the real one.
That we've been found out.
Paco Take.
He's out of his mind.
He is. Explorer. Trapshot Live, Beach Bum 7, Still Adolescing, Lumen 808, Texas Foosballer, Frodo NL, Barkbit, Anthony Jarvis, Captain Chaos DK, Wing Chun Wolf, Scumboy, Kronosnet, Negsol, and Jigglebox. Thank you guys so much for subscribing
to us
on Twitch.
You know, before you go to the next game announcement, I saw something we need to talk about real quick.
Oh, hey, man.
We got two big events coming up here, Boat. Big ones. Huge ones. Number one. This Saturday, it goes down.
It goes down hard.
Tell the folks.
After a recess of some months, the Taze Valley Classic Computer Club is reconvening right here in Amigo Studios.
Live.
Live.
If you will.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. all the gang's coming. You, me, the Chud.
The Chud.
That's really all you need to know. But Brent.
Good Matt.
Good Matt.
Is the Brent going to be here?
I think so. I don't
know. Never know with that guy.
You never know. Maybe Terry's going to be here, put up a new Burger Time high score.
Yeah.
And, of course, John Marshall with the tote full of old Commodore computers.
What are we working on this time around, Boat?
Well, I know John's bringing some projects he's working on.
Well, no kidding.
My big project is going to be seeing, you know, Wide World of Retro, a.k.a. David Z, sent me, out of the goodness of his heart, a Atari 8-bit 1050 disk drive. I've wanted one of these things for a long time for reasons I can't fully explain.
I don't understand.
I think I might have two Atari discs, but I want one to sit right here beside my 1200 XL, which is just off frame.
Then why do you need to fix it?
Well, because Dave sent it to me.
Oh, I see.
So I'd like to fix it just as a favor to him.
Plus, Dave will come after you.
That's true. He will come after me. And so we're going to be opening that bad boy up, testing it out, putting it through its paces. So make sure you tune in. It's going to be a good time.
This could be the best one ever.
It's undoubtedly going to be the best one ever.
Is this going to be the best computer club we've ever had?
It's the one I'm most excited for.
I've never been this excited about anything in my whole life, except for one other event.
What is
about.
It? What
my
is
God.
It?
The day after Thanksgiving, Boat. November 26, I believe, is the date. 10 a.m. is the time. Myself and the Brent, we're getting back together too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a real rough month for old A. This time in the arcade, I finished last night feverishly setting up the equipment because it's going to be Thanksgiving Marathon, ARG Thanksgiving Marathon, where me and the Brent are going to go to work, old school Boat, and we're going to play 8 hours of gaming action, all kinds of crazy stuff. We're going to spin wheels. Brent's got all kinds of crazy schemes because you know the Brent. It's going to be crazy, complicated, convoluted disaster. It's going to be fun.
Now, you know, ordinarily, I would jump at the chance to take part in the Thanksgiving Marathon.
Who wouldn't?
However, that is my 10th anniversary.
Congratulations, Eve. You put up with Boat for 10 years.
It is.
That's stunning.
And so, but believe you me, when we're at our romantic dinner, I'm going to be sneaking glances at the old Twitch app on the phone.
Please don't do that.
No, that would be instant death.
That's marriage suicide right there. We don't know what we're going to do with the Amigos that night either. I don't know if me and Brent are going to pick it up or I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Well, announcement forthcoming, Boat. But again, that's the day of Thanksgiving, November 26th. Myself to Brent, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Thanksgiving Marathon.
And if you are watching the show live, one more quick announcement. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We have a very special program for you. Coming up right after the show today, we are going to be streaming for perhaps the very first time in Twitch's history.
We are streaming WWF WrestleMania, the VCR game.
Holy smokes.
The VCR game. Now, Aaron, you are as generous as the day is long.
That's
and
true.
At some point in the past, you gave this to me for either my birthday or Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's been sitting on my shelf, and it's been calling my name. Whenever I look over there and I see Andre and the Hulk locked in that passionate embrace,
I've been thinking,
how long?
That's a beatdown right there.
This was the one. Was this the one where Hulk he had hurt ribs and Andre took that whole shtick?
Yeah.
So, stay tuned for some classic 80s wrestling clips and probably was sure to be one of the best board games of all time. You know, the Euro games have got nothing on these VCR board games.
With all that said, Aaron, next week on Amigos, we're going to be playing a game. I know the folks at the Amigos Game Selection Committee were really excited about this one. Treasure Trap, Aaron. Treasure Trap. That's what we call your house. The old Treasure
You're
Trap.
You're an idiot.
So, we are going to be playing Treasure Trap as picked by Frodo and L. We thank Frodo and L for nominating this game and for the Amigos Game Selection Committee.
And for his hair.
Yep, and for his hair for voting on the game. Frodo, he's the man, and so is the Amigos Game Selection Committee. We thank all of you for watching us and listening, and we will see you next week. Until then, adios.